That's very kind of you, Hamish. Hello, everybody. How are we? Good to see you. It's nice and early. Here we are in Melbourne. Melbourne, it's... that's right. We're okay. I was up early anyway this morning. I was up studying at 6:30. That's not bad. Studying to be show myself approved. How many believe that in a session like this, our lives can change? I've come to the conclusion that I don't want to waste time. I am known to fool around a bit. I used to, more than I do now. I'm far more, just turning this phone off so it doesn't do something while I'm preaching. Now, what do I push? That. Go off. There we go. Get rid of that. So I've come to the conclusion that I have a responsibility to impact a life every time I stand up to preach. The book of Ecclesiastes, Father, would you anoint your word very significantly this morning? Very significantly. I pray that not one word would be wasted here and that something would happen in the Holy Ghost. But I give you praise now, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Come. He is so good. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4. We all know it. Let's quote it together now. Where the word of the king is, there is power. Where the word of a king is, there is power. We need to understand the authority and the power that is in our words. We underestimate. Jesus said, we're going to give an account for every idle word we speak. I'll be lined up for about 1,000 years. Don and I will be lined up, won't we, Don? Giving account. Why did you say that, Tim? Don McDonnell made me say that. Why? We're going to give account for every idle word. Wasteful, negative word, word of doubt, words that bring uncertainty, words of failure, words of defeat. We'll give account. Now, there's a piece of scripture that you've probably read it and jumped over it, but I want to open it up this morning. I'm sort of teaching and preaching. I don't know whether I'm teaching or preaching, but whatever it is, it's coming out hopefully good. But I want to read this scripture to you because encapsulated in this piece of scripture is some life-changing power. So it says this, and we all know it. Verse 11 of Hebrews 4. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For, everyone should be able to quote this, the word of God is sharp, quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder to the dividing asunder, the cutting in twain of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have such a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have a high priest which cannot be touched. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one that in every point as we has been tempted, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now that's a great piece of scripture, but if we open it up in the Greek language and pull it apart a little bit, what comes out is very profound. Firstly, it says, the word of God is quick. That word, zao, means living or alive. It's a living word. This word is unlike any word of any book has ever been written. The author actually broods over it, the Bible says, to perform it. God says, I watch over it to make it happen. It's not just written word, but God says, I hover over it to make it happen in your life. And so the word is alive and it is powerful. That word energes means it is active, operative, effectual, operating, forceful, moving ahead. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 55:11, and so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish the thing for which it's been sent. It's an accomplishing word. It's an energetic word. It's a living word. It is alive and it's active. When I'm speaking right now, and I'm not sharing with you my own opinions. I'm not sharing with you my own thoughts. I'm sharing with you word. And the Bible says that as we preach the word, things happen. At Lystra, when Paul was preaching, he was preaching the word and steadfastly beholding a man in the dust. And as he preached, the man was watching him. He was watching the man. And suddenly the word began to work. Paul perceived that faith had risen and he said with a loud voice, stand up. You see, as we are speaking the word, we are cutting something open in the heavenlies. We are breaking something open in the realm of the spirit. And so it says, the word of God is sharp. Sharper, it's powerful. And sharper, that word tomateros means it cuts decisively. Right? Sharper, more decisive and keen than any two-edged sword. Piercing the fine line between soul and spirit, joint and marrow, even to the discerning of the thoughts of the human heart. Now, there's a word in here which, if we grab this one word, it is so impacting. And that is this. It says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. What is the word two-edged? A two-edged sword. A sword, a double-edged sword. A sword that is honed on either side. The Roman gladius was razor sharp on each side of the blade. A double-edged cutting blade. We use knives at home that have got one edge, but a killing sword is a sharpened both sides implement. But the Greek word for two-edged is the Greek word distomos. Distomos, from two words, two-mouthed. Two-edged or two-mouthed. And you could actually translate this directly from the Greek. It is a two-mouthed sword. And the Holy Spirit is giving a double meaning here. It's double-edged, brutal, but it's also two-edged. When does the sword have its impact? And why does the Holy Spirit say that the Word of God is two-edged? What are the two edges? Well, I put to you today that one edge is the Word going in and the other edge is the Word going out. It's a two-edged, thrusting blade. And it's sharper to a degree that it cuts finer than any implement. It can cut the fine line between soul and spirit. And medically, it cuts the fine line between joint and marrow, which is microsurgery. But then, if we follow this on a little bit, I'm just going to jump. I think we can jump the next verse because it still is relating very closely here. It says in verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest. How many know that we have a great high priest? Who is a high priest? The high priest in the Old Testament went before on behalf of the people. He was going in carrying blood. He was carrying, basically, he was going in carrying the nation on his shoulders. In fact, the high priest wore on his shoulders stones with the 12 tribes. His whole outfit of the high priest carried the understanding that he was coming in as a representative, carrying the nation. And there were individual names on his shoulders and there were individual stones on the breastplate. And he was going in with individual names and individual stones. And we have a high priest going in on our behalf with our name And he's going in before us. But he's called an interesting thing here. It says, this high priest has been tempted and tested on every point, even as we, yet without sin. But the Bible says, seeing we have this high priest who's been through all the stuff we've been through, tested on every point, tested at family, I guarantee in the wilderness he was tested sexually, he was tested in his mind, he was tested in so many areas, and the devil tested him with the glory, he tested him with who he was, he tested him with his identity, he tested him with every element. The Bible says we've got a high priest that's gone before us that understands our circumstances. And so if we have this high priest that's gone before, that's gone through it, it says, let us therefore hold fast our profession. Now, we're going to find that in Hebrews, three times Paul, or the writer to the Hebrews, I think it was Paul, it's open to conjecture, but I feel that there's an awful lot of Paulism, but others disagree, and I don't know. We don't really know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but I tend to feel, anyway, that some of it anyway was written by Paul, because it seems to line up with other areas of the epistles. But he says, if we have this high priest that's gone in on our behalf, he's carrying something on our behalf, and he's called the high priest of our profession. What's the word profession? It's the Greek word homologia. Homologia. From two words, homo, the same, logia, from the word logos, word. He is the high priest of the declaration of the same word. He's been tested on every point, but he's going in as the high priest carrying our word. And it says, let us hold fast. That word is repeated again in Hebrews 10:23. And in Hebrews 23, it says, let us therefore, and he's talking to Jews who under great pressure are pulling out. Hebrews 10 is a warning. It gets quite heavy when you get to verse 26 because they're backing out and going back into sin. And Paul is writing to them. He says, this is the time not to back off but to draw near. And he's telling them the things that they need to do. Instead of backing off as they're losing all their possessions, it seems that they had been exiled from Rome. The Jews, Christian Jews, had been put out. And he's saying to them, let us hold fast. The word hold fast is the word kateko, from the word kata, which means down or I seize something. It is a holding down fast or seizing. Let us hold down and seize hold of the profession, the homologia of faith, without leaning or wavering. What's he saying? He's saying in these two verses, he's saying, number one, we got a high priest who's been through everything you can throw. Every pain on the cross, scourged, hung up on the cross, tested, tempted. There's nothing that we can go through that can even remotely come near what he has. And yet he's gone in on our behalf. And he says, if he's gone through that, let us seize hold and determine that in the circumstances of our life, we are going to keep speaking the homologia, the same word. Our emotions may be saying that, but our great high priest is watching us to go before the Father and say, they're going through that, but they are speaking this. I'm going through pain, sickness. There may be sickness in the body, but the great high priest is going to go before the Father saying, Father, their declaration is this. Who has believed our report? They're believing the report. To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? They are believing that I was wounded for their transgression, bruised for their iniquities. The well-being of their peace was upon me, and by my wounds, They are healed. They are speaking what the word says. They are, Father, they are declaring. They are not declaring their pain. They're declaring your promise. In fact, it says, this is all about speak. So this is a speak message. High priest of our speaking. And so he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith, Pastor Don, without leaning or wavering or moving in the breeze. For he is faithful who promised. But my Bible tells me that all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. And I read in 1 Kings 8 verse 56, there has not failed one of all of his good promises which he made unto Moses, his servant. And so something powerful happens when we begin to speak with the two-edged sword. How do we speak the word of God as a two-edged sword? Number one, we can't speak it if we don't program it. We cannot speak it until we've imbibed it. I had someone say to me a few years ago, they said, Tim Hall's a good old evangelist. He'll tell a couple of stories, crack a couple of jokes, and then it all happens. And I thought, Lord, I want to have as much impact in the strength of the word as the manifestation of power. I've set myself, I'm 70 this year, I want to be fluent in New Testament Greek within 2 years. Flat out with that at the moment. Studying and writing, feeding on the word of God, eating the word of God, because the word is life to them that find it, and health to all their flesh. So shall my word be, it is. Bible says, and you'll know the word, and the word will make you free, set you free. If the word is life to them that find it, how are we going to preach the gospel and get people healed if we don't know what the word says in relation to healing? How can we preach and see lives transformed if we don't study and get an understanding of what the word says about who and what we are? So he's the high priest that takes our profession. I know sometimes I get up to preach and I feel like the enemy starts to say, nothing's going to happen here. It's not going to happen. How many times, Pastor Don, have you got up and the devil says, nothing's going to happen here? Now you've got a choice. You can go, oh. Or you can rise up. And then you say, devil, smack your head in. The power of God's going to, you want to bring it on? I'll bring it on. We were up in Bougainville a few years ago. I went in there during the ceasefire in Bougainville. I remember going down to a place called Bowen. And we're down at Bowen. Bowen's right down there, right near where Yamamoto's plane was shot down. And there'd been civil war for 20 years. There was no running water, no electricity. And we didn't even know if the war was going to break out again. And we stayed in places, bullet holes through all the walls. It was crazy. But it was an opportunity. And we went down to Bowen. And I got down there and they'd set up the platform. And we had an old amplifier, whatever the thing is. And they had to fan it to... was catching fire the whole time we're preaching. We had a good crowd of people. We had this hoping the thing would hold together. But I got there and there was military everywhere. It had been pretty serious. There were 20,000 civilians were killed in that fighting and so many troops and the Bougainville Revolutionary Army and so on. It was a bit crazy probably to go in, but when you got an opportunity, you go. And I was on the platform testing it to see if it would hold a reasonably portly gentleman. And you don't want to be preaching going, Jesus said, and go right through the thing. And the leader of the army came down. I don't know what rank he was, high-ranking guy. And he says, you are not doing this crusade tonight, this meeting. You will not be doing it tonight. I said, why is that? He said, the security vehicle was stolen at gunpoint from your platform. Until it's back, there's no meeting. My first reaction was, oh, really? Really? Then I just felt the anointing. And I said, sir, There will be a meeting tonight. And I'll tell you why. And I just started to... And he... Well, no one has spoken to him like this. I said, we will be tonight. And I said, firstly, we didn't have anything to do with the loss of your vehicle. That is you that lost that. And the secondly, we're nothing to do with it. And so it's not about that. So we will be holding the meeting tonight. And I said, you, sir, and most of your men are probably backsliders. You need Jesus. You see that left-hand section over there? That will be roped off for you and all your men. I expect you to bring them and all of you to be over there tonight. And he said, okay, Pastor. And they all came and they all got saved. They all got saved. And then we're in Revolutionary Army villages. But there's something about reversing how you speak. The devil will tell you one thing. Are you going to take it and go, ah, oh, or are you going to go, incorrect? See, when the devil said to Jesus in the wilderness, if you're the Son of God, he knew who he was. He drew the sharp two-edged sword, which he'd had to learn as a boy. It is written. Each occasion, Jesus did not debate with him emotionally, nor the situation or the circumstance of his hunger. Turn this bread, these stones into bread. How do we deal with the devil? We try to argue with him emotionally. He'll beat us. Been around too long. He's sharp. He is not silly. But he can't stand against, it is written. Our eternity, our impact on this planet, and our eternity is changed and impacted by our words. The scale of what we do. I've had people saying, when are you going to retire? I say, what for? They say, well, you've done most of the things you want to do. I said, hey, I even had a young guy caring. Said, look, you've been there, you've done this, you've done that. Why don't you just relax? Take it a bit easy. What do you have to prove? I said, if you realize the realms and the dimensions of God that have not yet been tapped, that have not even yet been in the slightest broken into. The church today feels like it's arrived. I read the early church. And I see great programs and great buildings and a whole lot of things. But a lot of it's... There's a lot of fairy floss. While God right now is calling on his church to put the glove on, the velvet glove on the steel punch. I don't preach wishy-washy, Tiny Tim, Mickey Mouse stuff anymore. I want to be very nice and kind and put the velvet glove on, but hit with a steel punch. Because I would say to you that I think the Australian church and maybe the New Zealand church, in terms of the Word of God, were weak. Weak! Preach an awful lot of stuff. I hear a lot of preachers and you listen and afterwards you go, I said all sorts of fun things and interesting things and it was all exciting. But my spirit has not been touched. Where was the weight? There's great reputation and we make heroes out of people. But the thing that we're looking for is weight. Quiet here. Hebrews 3:1 says this, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the holy calling, consider. That word means, it's katanoeo, which means fully observe, discover, perceive, and fully understand about the apostle and high priest of our homologia. Understand what he's doing. I think that Jesus takes our profession and we start talking. I've been talking in this last few months about Australia, and I'm meeting with, we're not there yet, but we're going to be. I'm meeting next week after next with representatives of 100 churches in Canberra, and with the thought of putting a large tent. And I've got to be careful talking too early, but we're going to talk next week about getting the grounds at Parliament House and putting up a 3,000-seat tent and then start to move around Australia. I want to move around Australia in a major tent. Start off with 1,000 in the meetings and work to the 6,000 the tent will hold. Then go into stadiums and people say, do you want to lie down yet? I say, no. No. This is a good friend of mine. Looking good. How big can we dream? How big should we speak? We should be declaring the glorious things of God. But you know, something happens when we start to speak in our own lives who God says we are. Everybody okay? When we start to, and we need to memorize the scriptures on who we are. We need to feed on the scriptures and just begin to look in that mirror. Well, don't look in the mirror so much, but well, if you have to, you can. But we've got to begin to declare who we are, where we are, what we are, what we're called to do, what we can do, who Jesus is in us, who we are in him. And then start to speak it. Every day, start to speak it. We've got to start to speak that I'm not just someone struggling through life. I'm not just a worm. I'm not a sinning worm. I am a joint heir with Christ. A joint heir with the one by whom, for whom, through whom this entire universe was made and by whom all things hold together. And I am a joint heir with the great one. And I'm quickened together with him. And I'm one spirit with him. And I've been raised with him. If I dare to believe it, I'm seated with him in heavenly places, far above all rule. Arche, chief spirits, first spirits, powers, exousia, authorities, world rulers, cosmokratos, dominions in the world, dominions in the spirit realm, and wicked spirits, darkness, the pneumaticus poneros, wicked, malevolent spirits, we're seated far above them. We are not straining to get to some place. We're born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, seated with him. Him that overcomes will I make to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down with him on his throne. And if we are seated with him in heavenly places, we are then born to rule and reign. Because I'm confessing that if by one man's sin death reigned by one, how much more shall we, who have received the gift of righteousness, reign as kings in life? That word reign will probably, during the course of the week, I want to talk about kingly reigning, the power of the gospel of the kingdom, learning to declare the rulership. See, there's another dimension. I'm just chewing at the moment on everything that relates to the gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom shall be I don't preach my word before I get to it. Shall be preached in all the earth as a witness. Then shall the end come. But that can wait. Can anything separate me from the love of God? I don't know if God's near me anymore. Can anything separate you? Nothing. Neither principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Because in all these things I'm more than a conqueror. I'm an overwhelming, unstoppable champion conqueror who cannot be defeated. Born to rule. Born to reign. Excuse me, getting excited. It's a teaching session this morning, isn't it? Born to rule, born to reign, born to live in dominion, born to live in authority, born to rule over devils. Born to rule over devils. Born to rule over disease. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead indwells me. And if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and he has come to indwell, then he shall raise our mortal body. Not after we die. There's a raising, there's an impacting, there's a supernatural empowering. Isn't there, Jess? Do you like that? We've got to know who we are. I'm in Christ. In him is every blessing in the spiritual realm. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything that I can ask, think, dream, or imagine, because of the power that indwells me. The Bible says we are filled with all the fullness of God. Filled. Ephesians 3, 19-20. We might know, Ephesians 1, the hope of his calling. We're called, we're the called of Christ. We might know the riches of our inheritance in the saints in glory. And Lord, I want to know the unlimited magnitude of divine power that's mine. The unlimited magnitude, the hyperbello megathos, the mega, far beyond, incalculable power, according to the working of his mighty power, kratos, dominion, world-shaking, chain-breaking, dead-raising dominion and forcefulness, which he wrought in the dead body of Jesus when God raised him from the dead, and that power has come to indwell us. And he says, I want you to see it. God, I want to see it. I speak it. You said it's mine. I'm going to operate in it. I'm going to operate in that. It's going to flow through me when I lay hands on people. It's going to flow in and through. He's made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall reign on the earth. You and I, we are the head, not the tail. Above only, never below. We're going to lend and not need to borrow. Blessed shall we be in every dimension of life. He gives us the power to make wealth, that he can prove his covenant to us. He said, we'll walk on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing of the evil one shall in any wise harm us. He actually has come to take dwelling within us. Christ himself coming to indwell us by the might and the power of the Holy Ghost. Christ in us, the hope of glory. What will overcome the world? Christ actually indwelling us. I feel like there's 50,000 people out there. I feel like I'm preaching to a great crowd, yelling and spitting. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue raised against us in judgment, we shall condemn. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the living God. The enemy will come against us one way, but he will flee from us seven ways. We're strengthened with mighty power by the Spirit indwelling us. Our spiritual eyes are open. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If I dare to believe, nothing is impossible to me. He has delivered me out of the kingdom of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of his dear son. I'm a kingdom dweller. I operate in the kingdom. I'm carrying kingdom power. I'm preaching the kingdom of God. I'm declaring the good news of the kingdom. And God will manifest his power as we preach it. He watches over his word to perform it. I'm complete in him who's the head. And I'm growing into the stature of the measure of the fullness of Christ himself. I'm a fully armed warrior standing immovable against principalities and powers and angels and principalities and devils and demons and every foul stinking thing out of hell. And he's given us authority to stand. We are the invincible warriors of Christ. We are his stormtroopers on planet Earth. We are the ruling force of God standing in a sick world. We're the salt of the earth. We are his mighty representatives. All the fullness of God indwells us. We are the church. We are the fullness of him that fills all and in all. Something happens. I feel something happening as I'm just confessing this word. I'm confessing today that we shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. With God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. People sit in church, oh yeah, I've seen it all before. Nothing. Nothing. God can't help me. God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything. Anything. You could ask, think, dream, imagine. We got to understand who we are. I'm going to finish this off, but I do love old Kenneth E. Hagin. And I started doing something that he was doing, and I just began doing this a long time ago. Anyone that knows me knows that the book of Ephesians in my Bible is a disaster. It is getting worse. In fact, if I want to preach from Ephesians 6... it no longer lives here. It's like a rat or something ate it. And so I have eaten Ephesians. But you see, I get excited about these two prayers that Paul prayed. And he said, this is a prayer I cease not to pray for you. Kenneth E. Hagin said he prayed these prayers 1,000 times each. Every day he would get up and pray this prayer for himself. And he said, I broke into the miracles. He said, I spoke it until I believed it. But it says this. Paul prayed, and I've probably preached on this before, but you would have forgotten, and half the page is gone anyway, so I'll have to remember half it. But he said, from the time I heard about your faith, he said, I've ceased not to give thanks for you. Making mention constantly in his prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the intimate knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that word, Greek word is photizo, flooded with divine light, that you might know and understand the hope of his calling, that's the kaleo, the calling, the invitation that he has given you, and the glory of his inheritance in the saints that are yours in inheritance, and to know the unlimited manifestation of divine power, usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he exerted in Christ when God raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places far above all rule, principality, power, dominion, and so on, and put all things under his feet, which is the church, the fullness of him that fills all in all, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespass and sin. Now, you start praying that for yourself. Father, I pray today that you may give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the intimate knowledge of you. Father, would you give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation today in the intimacy of my knowledge of you? Father, would you flash the eyes of my understanding with divine light that I might truly know the hope of your calling? The hope, the certainty. Elpis is the Greek word. And it's not hope. It's confident, certain expectation of this calling. I thank you for calling, Father. Would you make it clearer? Would you open it clearer so I can see everything that you're wanting to do? And thank you, Lord. I want to see the riches with my inheritance in favor, in glory, in strength, in honor, the favor bestowed, the strength bestowed. I want to live in that favor. And Lord, would you show me and reveal to me and unlock in me the unlimited manifestation of your divine power, your mighty dunamis working in me. And Lord, I know that this power is even greater. It's according to the working, the energeo, the forceful, energetic working of your mighty Kratos dominion, forceful dominion of God, power and forcefulness. And I thank you, Lord, that it's according to the same power that was wrought in the dead body of Jesus when you raised him from the dead, Father. And you said, Lord, this same power's in me, Father. I want to operate in it when I lay hands on people at the mighty resurrection power. I thank you, Lord, that you've quickened me together with you. Thank you, Lord, that you've raised me together with you, that you've seated me together with you, that I'm already in a place from which I can get no higher. I can just grow in the place where I am right now and learn to operate out of the authority that you've given me. And we could go into chapter 3 and you can take the prayers and you pray them for yourself. And I'll tell you, your prayer life starts to, something starts to happen. Something starts to happen. Doesn't it, Wayne? Come here. Come here, my friend. See, God is, lift your hands. God is stirring something up in you that's strong. You're working at your work and you're doing the stuff you're doing, but you know in your heart that God is preparing you in the days ahead. And you said, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm hungry to be greatly used. And you get very inspired with the power of God, and you want to be a carrier of the power of God. You don't just want to be a preacher. You don't want to just be a communicator. You want to be a divine carrier of power. And God's going to bring it. And here's the word. He's saying to you, I want you to mine out the depths of my word. In your spare time, I don't want you to just surface skim the word. I want you to get a shovel and start digging it. I want you to start to mine out, because the treasures in the word have to be sought after. They don't just come. And you will operate so much. At the study you're doing now, you love God and you like the word, but God's saying, how serious are you? How hungry are you? You've got to have the word of God dwelling richly within you. It'll grow out of the power of the word. The word of God grows and multiplies. When we feed it into ourselves, it grows and multiplies. It's the word that is going to grow and multiply in you. And natural things are going to happen as you fill yourself with the word and hunger in prayer. But you're going to find that that thing will grow within you. And the things that are going to happen for the future will happen very naturally. They'll happen very naturally, but it's going to grow out of a deep, deep, intense hunger for the word of God. And the power's on you right now. We're not whistling Dixie. We're not here to whistle Dixie. I can feel a pull from Andy Piggott right now. And I'm thinking, Andy, it'll look like I favor you, but I can't get past the pull I'm feeling from him. You say, what do you mean by that? I feel something within him that as I'm sharing today, so many things have just been ignited in his spirit in the word today. And there's something in him right now saying, and he's a great man of God. He moves in the miraculous and he's doing great things. But there's something in him saying, even while I'm sharing today, there's something in him saying, I've got to have, there's another dimension. He's actually been thinking to himself, there's another dimension even in my life at the moment, and you've seen it. You've seen something that's new on me, and there's something in you that says, I have to step to another level. I have to grow to another level. And something in you is saying, I'm going home. And I'm going to take this word, I'm going to devour it. I love it now, but it's nothing to the ravenous of what's going to happen now. And I'm going to get hold of everything of who I am and what I am and where I am and what I can do and what I can be. Because God is raising you up to do something very, very significant on the planet. And it's going to grow very quickly. Come up here, because I'm going to lay hands on you, and there's another dimension of God coming on your life today. It's a new, you might need my guys. You stay right with us, but I'm simply aware that within you there's a desire that says, I have to learn to move from where I am in you. You're going to go home and pray that prayer every day. I guarantee from this day on, you'll pray that prayer every day for yourself. Maybe you're already doing it. But there's a dimension of the miraculous power of God coming on you right now. You will never. When I lay my hands on you today, I'm not laying a dead hand on you. I'm going to let the lightnings of God go through your body like a holy, holy fire. Shukale bushta prakisite pokusata marandai. Jesus. Jesus. It's not by might, nor is it by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. I learned something. When God starts to move, you don't have to rush. You look around and you watch hunger. You watch eyes. You watch body language. And you begin to sense something's happening. Come here, my brother. Just come. Yeah. There's some new things happening in your life right now. Some new things going on. You're digesting some things. You're thinking through some things. And you're wanting to understand some new things in the spirit. The Lord says, let my glory take hold. Let my glory seize hold, because he is saturating you. Let him absolutely fill you to a degree like never before. You're going to go away from these meetings with such an enormous power from heaven on you. Power from heaven. There's a holy presence here. A strong sense that God is wanting to change us. How's the shoulder, bro, from last night? Come up here. Come up. Got a good heal. Who else got a shoulder heal last night? Anyone else? We had a couple. This brother had a thing, surgery, didn't you? The shoulder. How's it today? Fantastic. He had like rubber bands holding his shoulder in place. Pins and stuff, and God just healed him last night. But listen, it's just the beginning. I feel like God's saying, it's just the start of things. It's the start of a new adventure. It's the start of something. I think God's going to stretch you. I think he's going to ask things of you. You might be, I don't know where you're at in life, but I just feel like God's going to put some things before you and put some challenges there, and going to stretch you to another level. In him, in your understanding of him, and in things you're going to do for him and with him. And Holy Spirit, I'm asking you for a whole new touch. Come around behind him here, bro. Come in behind him. That's it. Let your glory come. Power from heaven. I need a couple of guys because it's a heavy weight right now. Sometimes the anointing is just very heavy. By the way, you don't have to go anywhere. Come here. Because I saw you there a minute ago, and I thought I'd just let it cook up a little, because there's something really stirring in you today. There's something stirring today, isn't there? There's something that says, hey, Lord, you can use me. Hey, I think you're going to do something with me. I'm going to go and start speaking who I am. I see a picture. You don't have them here, but we've got snakes in Australia. And they have their old skin for a fair while. And eventually that old skin gets a bit worn and a bit battered, and they'll go through a season and they'll actually slide out of that old skin and they come out shining. And when they shed their skins, they look spectacular. They shine, they're moist looking in the sun, and they really bite well. You're shedding an old skin. You're shedding an old skin where you put yourself into a place where you think, I can fit at this level or do this. But God says, shed the skin and see what I can do, because I will shock you. It'll be in the Word. It'll be in prayer. I think God is really speaking to people today about depth of the Word. Who's stirred up in that area? My God. Look, I'm watching a guy at the moment. He's just a bush preacher, and a whole nation is falling at his feet right now. And I'm just blown in my mind as millions of dollars. He's alongside the president. He's doing crusades. I'm just shaking my head. I'm saying, is that the same guy? Father, power! Every person that in your heart right now, you'd say, I'm ready for another level. I want to get rid of the old skin. And I want to step in to a new place and step into a new dimension. Would you just stand to your feet quickly? Now, I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I'd love to lay hands on every one of you. Someone would like to move the paraphernalia for me, the preaching paraphernalia. Would you like? Thank you, Hamish. I'm going to lay hands on you in a moment and your lovely wife, whose name I forgot, Mrs. Hamish. You want some more, Andy? Come on down. Come on down. Lift your hands, Andy. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. In behind. Quick, guys. Quick. God. Fire! Ooh. Come here, Hamish. Bring Mrs. Hamish. It's about as Scottish as you can get. Hamish McTavish from Scotland. Hamish, another dimension, man. Don't limit God in any way in your own mind. And the scripture for you is one we all know. And that's in Ephesians 3:19-20. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond anything you could ask, think, dream, or imagine. Do not limit yourself. Do not limit what you can do. Don't, from here on, only think big things. Dream big things. Don't put yourself, see, often we put ourselves in a position where we think is our value or what we can do. The people that make the big mark are the ones that take those limitations away and look to the God who's able to astound us, the God who is outside of the realm of limitation. And as you pray much in the Holy Ghost, you lock in to the one who is outside of limitations. And the Word of God and much speaking in tongues, prayer, pressing, power from heaven on you. More, 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 more. And that prophetic anointing and that insight in the prophetic. Everyone that wants a touch, just come. We'll make a line across here, a line across there, a line down there, a line here, a line, there, a line, everywhere, a line, we're just a line. That's it. You might be back on the job now, bro. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God talking to you, Don? God talking to you? My God. My God. Fire! Oh, watch Julie. She's over. Julie. Fire! The scale it's going to break, Don, going to leave you astounded. The breaking scale will not be just a dribble or a stream. It'll be a floodgate. The floodgate is about to burst open. And it'll be international. International floodgate. International floodgate. Julia, that's the two of you. That's not you. You won, so that's the two of you, that's your word, Julia, it's for both of you, the floodgates. Oh, my God. Kuste prekisa.
Hello, Tim.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too, mate.
You're looking good.
Good.
Power from heaven. Oh, gee. Shazza. Power from heaven. Lloyd. Fresh. Power. And drop him. Power from heaven. How are you? Power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. How's the shoulder? Power and bless his heart. Power from heaven. Hey, sister. You got the anointing all over you. Just waiting for the guys. Where are we, fellas? You there? Try and come in behind. If you're sideways, people go down and do their collarbones. Jesus, the power of God. Right now. Hello, sir. You a pastor?
No.
What do you do? Good. Real estate's good. My God, bless him. Have you got a passion for missions for the nations? Have you got a heart for missions or to go overseas and do stuff?
Yeah.
Have you started to do that? Have you been on any trips?
No.
I think as the door opens, take opportunities because God will expand you very quickly. And Father, give him new success, even stretch his success out to another level. Give him a major breakthrough, but also open up opportunities for the nations. Hello there. Jesus, touch her right now with your glory, your glory, your glory, your glory. Power from heaven. Hello, sister. Do you sit by a window and pray? Is there a window where you pray? Do you sit some in a room, a lighted room? Where do you pray? Where do you go? Have you got in your car? Well, that's good. Yeah. I just see the light. I go and pray up in the bush, and I love to be with his light. Power from heaven. Jesus, bless you two. You husband and wife. What a good-looking couple. You got kids?
Yeah.
How many?
Five.
Oh, good job. Well done. Well done. Five. What age?
Between 32 down to 17.
Oh, my God. Well, you look too young for that. Father, power on them. That's it. Power on them. God, in Jesus' name. Hello, sister. Did I miss you? I do that. That's when you're my age, certain things happen. You forget things. Three things that happen to you. One, you start forgetting things. I can't remember the other two. Jesus, the anointing. Yeah. Oh, bring the second row up to work some. I'll come back down. I'll go up this way, then I'll come back down. Hello, sister. How are you? God, the anointing, like a fire. She's like flapping like a seagull. Hello, Mike. My God, the power from heaven on you. Hello there, sister. You're Mrs. Mike. Oh, you are too. I remember that. Now, you've got lovely autumn colours. Are you in autumn? I'm just whatever I find in the cupboard. God, the anointing right now. Jesus. Power! Holy power! Power, Andy. Jesus. Don't drop anyone. Hello, sister. Have some more. Hello, sister, laughing. Power from heaven. Hello there, sister. Power from heaven, right? Through you. Jesse. Power on you, sister. Fire! Fire, fire, fire! Jesus, touch Mrs. Jess with a holy fire. Jesus, you got any kids? Good job. Good job. How old? Oh, nice work. You got a kid's book? Did I give you a kid's book? Grab one after. My kid's books are on sale out there. Any books left? I don't know. Buy one after. It's compulsory. Jesus, touch my brother. How are you, sir? Lord, I'm rough, and I touch him, Lord, touch him. Touch him with the mighty power of God. Touch him with the mighty power of God. God bless you, sir. Touch you mightily. Touch you mightily today. What's your name?
Steve.
Touch you, Steve. I'm spitting and rough. God, sorry.
Touch him, Lord. He's a special man. Let a mighty anointing come on you, Steve. Mighty from your head. And healing through your body. Healing through your body. Jesus, right through your body, Steve, the healing power of God. Like a flowing river right through your, like lightning fire through your body. Power from heaven on you, brother. Take it. Hello there, sister. Fire from heaven. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Is that another line back there?
We'll just bring them up.
Oh, just keep them coming. Okay, let's keep moving along. Jesus. I don't know if I'm messing up someone else's preaching time.
Oh. Too bad.
God. Power from heaven. Sorry, who's the brother that's supposed to be preaching now? Is he okay? I'll be off here in a minute. They'll fix it. We just won't have any lunch. Jesus, the anointing right now. The anointing on you right now like a fire. Hello. Power from heaven right through your body. Right through you. Filled. That's it.
Hello.
Power from heaven. Jesus. I've wrecked another Bible since then, Andy. Jesus, the new one's worse. God. Fire from heaven. Touch them both here. Touch them, Lord. Touch them. Filled. Just take it. Just receive it. Jesus. Power of the Holy Ghost. Like a fire. Let me just sneak through here. That's it. Let me just come through. How are you, sir? Fire from heaven right through your body. Hello, sir. How are you? Good to see you. The Spirit of the Lord's on you powerfully right now.
Yeah.
Right through your body. Power and healing.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Oh, Jesus, just touch it.
Good.
I know, it's like that. It's like that. Cut the anointing.
Hello, sir.
Fire from heaven. I know this man. Yes, it is, Alan. How are you, mate? Good to see you. Oh, where are you these days? You're down at, what's his name? I know. We were down there, Alan. I was with you. I thought I recognized you. Alan Hood.
There you go.
Mate, I thought, I know this man. I'm going to be in trouble here. We had a good time, didn't we, Al?
Fantastic time.
Can I come back? Whoa, fire on you. Power on Al. I like Al. He's got a good church.
Yes.
You've been down there. I think you organised me going down there, didn't you, Don? I had a good time with them. Jesus. More. Drunk as drunk, Al. I'm not letting go. I might be here for a long time, Al. Jesus, more. Drunk. Exceptionally drunk. On the new wine. Touch brotherhood from the hood. Oh, anoint his church. Anoint him. Bless you, my friend. So good to see you. More drunk. It's time to see a few people tanked here.
Yeah.
We hear some holy noises. There's quite a heavy sort of seriousness. It's my nature. Shaz, a bit different to last night, wasn't it? She videoed me messing around doing some imitations. Jesus. Power from heaven, sir. Power. Power to change. Power to break through. Power to break through. Fire of God. Yeah, more. 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 Well, Rodney Howard would sound more. No, I mean hallelujah. Fill that person with the power of God. Jesus, the anointing. Where are we going now? And blessed. What a lovely young lady. What's your name? That's my daughter's name. E-I-G-H or E-Y?
E-E.
E-E. No, you can't spell it like that. Yes, you can. It's good, isn't it? Touch Ashley, Father. How old are you, Ash?
30.
Oh, yeah, my daughter's 30. She's getting married this year. Mm-hmm. You married?
Yes.
Kids? Is this your husband?
Yes.
Ned Kelly? Have a look at you. A bush ranger. You're married to a bush ranger.
I think so.
Is he a character?
Yeah.
Is he? Is he funny?
Sometimes.
Does he make you laugh? Come and pray for your wife. Come out here. Catch and pray. Tell her how much you love her. Filled brotherhood. The brotherhood. The brotherhood. Hello, sir. Power from heaven right through you. Watch him. Good catching. Come here, brother. Brother South Africa, come. I'm telling you, totally Baleka. Totally. Fire! Fire on the South African brother! Hello, bro. We've met before, haven't we?
Have we?
I don't know. I think we probably have. Yes, we have.
You're too old.
No.
What?
It's not Eliafi, is it? No. It's Eliafi, my friend. I thought I recognised him. This is Eliafi Siri. I went and preached for him down at Mungaweka. And there's about 100 people in the town. He had most of them in the church. I sat on a farm out there.
Yeah.
And it is you. Look at you.
What?
You're running the show these days, aren't you? The AOG.
Just pray for me and stop talking.
Hey, I will. If Eliafi says jump, you say, can I come down yet? Father, fresh fire from heaven. Fire! 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 Fire. I used to be a slim, and I met Samoans by the name of Samanu, I reckon it was, up in Palmerston, and they introduced me to coconut buns. And they brought me a box of them. I ate the whole lot. Over about 3 days, I had a whole box. I went from this really athletic, slim-looking fella. Now a lot of people think I'm Samoan. They say, you look very Samoan. You got the Samoan body, English skin. So I tell them at church, I say...
Where's your sandpaper?
I've got my pocket. How are you, brother? Where's the sandpaper? You can't get away from the cricket. My God, the anointing on the brother. Give him a double dose for that joke. Hello, sister.
You might as well pray for
the two of you. Well, bless you both. Power! Power on them both. Watch them. Good catching. Hello, sir. Well, I'm over. Good catching. Power from heaven. I've got to finish this so that poor brother can preach. Power from heaven. I don't know where he is. He'll be... Hello, sir. How are you? Jesus. Fire from heaven right through you. Right through you. Right through you. Right through you. Holy fire. Holy fire. Hello, sir. Power from heaven right through you. Right through you. That's it. Hello, sister. Power from heaven. Power of the Holy Ghost. Touch them, Lord. Touch them. Touch with power, sir. My God. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Sir, there's the anointing right now. That's the anointing right now. My God. Hello, sister. Power from heaven. Jesus. Jesus, how are you, sir? MVXX1. Motor vehicle 21. Jesus, touching. Are you catching or back for some more?
I'm catching, but I'm catching.
Not now, you're not. Power from heaven. Power. I'm done. Where's brother? Brother cheers on or someone. I'm going to sit down. See your Bible. How is it? Messed up?
No, not enough.
Keep working on it. Fire, fire, fire. I want you to memorize Ephesians this year. The whole book. That's my homework for you. I haven't done it yet. I'm doing bits of it though. I'm getting there. I've got slabs of it. Yep, put it in the thing. Pastor, I think I'm done. I've gone over. I've gone heavily over. Well, I have gone over a bit, haven't I? But you said keep going.